Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to the Lifebook Member Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. Listener questions with my father, John Butcher. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Jordan. How are you?
Fantastic. Health and fitness month. Ever important, ever exciting, ever evolving.
Sure.
And we've got some really fantastic questions, but I wanted to start with a big thought, and you can kind of extrapolate on this and tell me what you think. You know, the phrase biohacking is really hot right now. There's some amazing things going on because the more you learn about the human body and different reactions within the human body, we're really honing in on some really amazing physiological reactions and effects. And you can you can control your body in these different ways. So it's truly amazing. But then I got thinking, how far does this go? Okay. So if I can alter everything in my body, if I can take a pill, you know, a CBD pill or some future pill that ensures that I don't have to feel stress or anxiety or those chemicals, and I can deal with every situation calmly. I don't have those stressors. If I can, let's say, do really quick workouts or, again, take a pill to be fit, are these going to have unintended consequences on our character? Are these going to have unintended consequences? What's the point of having six-pack abs if everybody has six-pack abs? Is this going to devalue certain things? You know what I mean? So it got me thinking, or is it just going to open us up to more high-minded ideals and free us up? Right.
Well, Jordan, I think the answer is yes.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, one thing that we can just see from the last 100 years for sure is that every single time we get a new, great, amazing invention, there always seems to be two sides to the coin. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're walking around now with the entire sum of human knowledge in our pockets at the speed of light. That's an absolutely amazing tool. Well, as we've just been realizing the last few years, what a dark side it has. It can be a tool that absolutely takes your life to the next level in just about any way that you want, or it can completely ruin your life. So I think that that's just, you know, one of the things that we do as human beings that is sort of, I'm going to use the word unnatural. I'm not sure if that's the best word. It probably isn't, but kind of goes against nature,
mm-hmm.
is that we seem to want only light in a universe that is, you know, light and dark. And we, of course, we should lean toward the light. We should lean toward growth, life, all the good stuff, and away from bad, evil, death, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you can't have light without darkness. You can't, you know, like, for instance, if they do create some sort of a pill that makes it so that you don't ever have to have anxiety, it's also going to lessen other emotions that, mm-hmm. that might be desirable emotions. You can't just squish the undesirable things completely out of your life and only have the desirable things, because life is about contrast.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know, man, I don't know where the future is going to take us, because it's speeding up. It's going so much faster. Technology is building on technology. Miraculous things are coming out, but what I've noticed is you can really use them for good or for ill. So
mm-hmm.
what does that mean? That means that ultimately the most important thing is self-responsibility. You know, we have this tool in our pocket that can make our life or break our life. Well, what's going to be the determining factor? Can you take responsibility for yourself,
mm-hmm.
and exercise the wisdom and insight and self-discipline you need to use that tool for good? I think it's going to be the same thing with any physiological breakthroughs that come through. I just don't know, man. I can't look into the future and any more than anybody else can, but it just looks like things are speeding up so much as these technologies stack on each other that we're going to have some really interesting tools in the very, very short future.
Yeah. Well, to wrap it up, you're a fitness nut. You love it. You love getting into fitness fray. If that 6-pack ab pill comes out tomorrow, are you taking it?
I don't need it. And I would stay manual on that probably. You know what I mean?
So I think that's a pretty good indicator. I think a lot of people would.
Yeah. Well, I agree. I mean, I get a lot of joy and self-esteem and a lot of good, healthy stuff from being healthy and staying healthy. That's probably, like, I would never take I would never take those dangerous diet pills that some people take, you know, that I would just pass on that. I'll tell you one thing though, when I had my anxiety disorder, you know, 20 something years ago, when I was shut down by that horrible condition in my life, I would have taken just about anything. Mm. So I'm not going to sit here and judge people.
Totally. Yeah. That's a really profound thought though, about humans always wanting to go towards the light. And yeah, that's, you really opened my mind, man.
That's what I've been studying lately. I've been studying, and it shows up everywhere. It shows up in Zen Buddhism. It shows up in Hinduism. It shows even up in Christianity. The fact that this universe we live in a binary universe. Everything has its opposite. And you can't have one without the other. Every time you get, you know, you go out and you tie one on, you just have the most amazing, amazing time ever. You're going to pay for it the next day. There's this pendulum swing.
Yeah.
It's the nature of life. And we always tend to try to default as much as we possibly can to the enjoyable, to the good, to the light, to the life, as opposed to the other side. But the other side, you can't get rid of it. And I'm not even sure you should try. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
At least to a certain point. You're absolutely right about that.
Yeah.
Fantastic stuff. Before we get into the questions, there's some big news here in the second week of January. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, there is. We just released the new version of Lifebook version 2, years and years in the making. Hundreds of Lifebook members' wisdom in this program. I've been doing the final reviews of the new videos, and it's a different level. It is so superior to the old program, just in every possible way. I'm so proud of it. I'm so proud of the job the team has done. The introduction broke every record Mind Valley's ever set for sales. It was the best-selling program in the history of Mind Valley. We're so excited about it. It starts January 7th. And Lifebook members, if you haven't signed up for the January cohort, please sign up. I think almost 5,000 people have signed up for this program. And Missy and I are facilitating it ourselves beginning January 7th. It's a 6-week course. It's $500. And you can request your money back at the end of the program. Or you can move into our second level program called Lifebook Mastery. And so I just jump on, I believe, mindvalley.com. If you go to mindvalley.com, you'll just see us all over that website. Mm-hmm. Go to programs and you can sign up. The cart, I think, may be officially closed until January 5th. I'm not sure how that will work. But go ahead and poke around. You can send us an email to jesse@mylifebook.com if you're having trouble finding it or signing up. And I just strongly recommend that you sign up and go through Lifebook with Missy and me and the rest of the Lifebook community, because it is going to be a different level than anything we've ever experienced before.
You can never go through Lifebook too many times, man. So,
you know, Jordan, I like going through every year or every 2 years at least.
That's awesome. And some of the biggest transformations that I speak to people, you know, some of the biggest fans of Lifebook, it takes a couple times for them to, you know, they split open even wider and they have even bigger revelations.
No question. The second time is always more profound than the first time. Always. Because you've just got such a great base going in. And, you know, your life changes. Yeah, your mm-hmm. life book has to change with your life in order to stay updated and stay powerful as the personal development tool, you know, that you want to guide you toward that life vision.
Love it. Everybody check that out, mindvalley.com. Let's move into these wonderful questions. I love health and fitness questions, and you kill it on fitness, and my health knowledge is ever expanding too. So this is going to be great.
Great.
First question from Drizelle. Do you have any tips for eating healthy in an affordable way, since most of the more affordable food in our country is so unhealthy? You hit this first and then I'll take a swing.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, if you should splurge on anything in your life, it probably should be what you put into your body. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is an area where, you know, it makes a lot of sense to try to save money wherever you can. This is an area I'm not sure you want to sacrifice. You know, you can save money elsewhere. As a matter of fact, I read an interesting article a couple weeks ago that was comparing how much we spend on stuff today versus how much we spent on stuff in the 60s. And we're spending substantially less on food. In the 60s, the average American household spent 24% of their disposable income on food. Now it's down to 16%. Hmm. So I think we're going in the right direction. But as Drizelle points out, you know, I mean, look at the crap that people are putting into their bodies these days.
So, you get two tacos for 99 cents a Jack in the Box.
Exactly. So here are two suggestions. Other than, you know, don't skimp on spending money on your foods. Save money elsewhere. This is super important to get the highest quality you can. That's my number one piece of advice. But here are the two other things I'd say. See if you can get creative and figure out how to grow some of your own food. It does not take Missy and I have had a garden. Missy and I have had a garden for 20 years, Jordan, and you know how much she loves it. She it feeds her soul. And then I cook that food. And look, almost anyone can at least grow herbs. At least grow your herbs out on your balcony. You can put pots out there and grow your basil and, you know, all that stuff. But if you just have a little, you know, if you can possibly do a 6 by 10 foot garden, you can grow some serious stuff.
Absolutely.
So that's fun and super healthy and enjoyable. And then the second thing I'm going to say, Drizelle, is this: green smoothies. It is our number one nutritional strategy. And if you, as a matter of fact, in the new Lifebook version, we show Missy's smoothie recipe. It's basically spinach and kale and stuff like that. And then she does chia seeds and avocado. And it's basically like a liquid salad. And our nutritional strategy is basically this. We slam a couple of those green smoothies every day, no matter what else we eat or don't eat. We've got all of the nutrition that we need for that day. You can literally do a green smoothie and a corn dog, or a green smoothie and, you know, whatever. It almost doesn't matter. I shouldn't probably say that. You want to try to keep everything clean, the meats that you eat, et cetera. All I'm saying is that green smoothie does a tremendous amount of the heavy lifting of the nutrition that you need in one fell swoop. So that's the best strategy that we've ever discovered.
It's true. And plants are cheap. Here's the thing. It depends on your diet, right? So plants are cheap. Eggs are cheap. If you want to go cheap, you really can find the healthy stuff. And like you said, if you get throw some healthy fat like that avocado, some coconut oil in that smoothie, that you can survive off that. You know, it depends on how hardcore you want to go.
That being said, I understand what Drizelle's saying, because you go to Whole Foods and you do your grocery shopping.
Oh my
God. Look at that bill and you're like, holy shit. Man, this place is expensive.
It's exactly right. So it is all priorities. And that's, I was going to say the exact same thing you did. Is I have a monthly meat bill. I have a butcher box. My meat's delivered right to my door, all grass fed, all that stuff. For me and my wife and my little baby, who all eat a lot of meat, it's $260 a month. And that gets paid first. That's the most important thing to me. And you know, if you can't afford that, look where you can make some sacrifices. How important is it? You know, you got Netflix, you got cable, you got Hulu, you got Xbox Live. You know what I mean? Anything, you really got to prioritize. Some of the stuff that you wouldn't even think about, you really got to prioritize, you know?
Yeah, so true. And that one should really be at the top of our priority list, right?
Yeah. And the fact is, it's not an option to do the more affordable quote food in our country, because that's not food. You're not putting food in your body. You're basically wasting money on drugs. I mean, Taco Bell, it's got 88% beef now. It used to be worse. I'm reading 35% beef just a few years back. 35% beef. So you're throwing away your money. That's not food. You got to find a way, yep. Drizelle.
That's right.
Good luck. Good luck. Next question from Anne. I'm curious to know if you follow any diet typology, for example, paleo or something similar. And this is interesting, because you've got a pretty, you've always just kind of been, I shouldn't say you've been a natural. You did a lot of study, but you know what a healthy plate of food looks like. And that's what you've said before. So you give me your diet philosophy.
Well, you know what I've tried? Miss and I both have tried a lot of those diets, especially early on. But the bottom line is that we discovered more than 20 years ago how to eat right for our body type. And we know what a healthy plate of food looks like. And Miss and I have always really worked out a lot. And when you exercise a lot, and have our body types, at least, we pretty much eat whatever we want. We do. And what we want is almost always healthy. That's what we gravitate toward. But we're not super rigid or super disciplined. Now, if we're in the middle of a challenge, a health and fitness challenge, we're going to have a big health and fitness challenge in the Lifebook community this year in Character Month. That's going to be interesting. And during that health and fitness challenge, whether it's 30 days or 60 days, I'll get hardcore. And I'll decide exactly what my meal plan's going to be. And it'll be strict. So I am capable of doing that. And I do it every once in a while. But really, Miss and I are to the point now, it's like having money in the bank. We just have done it for so long that thank God, because some of our travels take us to places where we can't eat the way that we'd like to, where we just literally can't put it together. Every time we go live in a new place, we have to kind of almost start over as far as finding the right nutrition and the right meal plan in that particular place in the world. So it's so good that we basically have money in the bank and we can afford to have a couple weeks that aren't optimal until we get back on track, because we've been doing this for so long. So that's just, consistency really does pay off. Mm-hmm. So the answer is no, I don't follow any specific diet methodology. We just eat sensibly, and we Miss and I don't like to overeat. We don't like the way it makes us feel. And so we've just developed good habits. I guess that's what it comes down to.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I want to talk about paleo a little bit, because one of the benefits of this lovely, lovely job that I've found myself falling into, man, I've spoken with a lot of doctors over the past couple of years, and what a wide variety, whether it's functional holistic medicine doctors or some of the shoots I've worked with you. You know, we're talking to Harvard medical doctors, full-blown medical doctors, I mean, plant medicine specialists, just all these crazy people. And I've kind of gathered a couple key principles, and I don't want to sound like I'm a doctor at all, but there's some things that all of those doctors agree upon, all the nutritionalists, whether it's these, vegan guys, plant-based guys, or these new high-fat guys, or these new carnivore guys, there are some things that they all agree upon. And here's what I found, that is, sugar is horrible for you. None of them say eat more sugar. Whole foods are important. Don't eat the processed stuff. It's just not good for you. All of them agree on this, okay?
100%.
Plants are good for you. A high plant diet. You know, Dr. Greg Schulte is featured this month, and it's just so funny. He said, listen, I don't know anybody who has too many plants in their diet, and we know it's anti-inflammatory. So you got to eat more plants. So if you look at the paleo diet, what's interesting about the paleo diet is you can fit into any of those three, let's say, hot categories that are hot right now, right? And the other thing is grains are kind of being kicked out. So here's what I'm saying. If you do the paleo diet and you lean heavy meat, and you lean heavy avocados, you are now doing a high fat diet, still following paleo. You're just doing less plants, less berries. If you do the paleo diet and you go heavy plants, a little bit of fish for your meat, occasionally some red meat for B12, suddenly you're borderline vegan, or you can be vegetarian if you just stick to the fish. You see what I'm saying? So paleo is a healthy diet because it falls under a lot of people's philosophies.
I agree, Jordan. I think that you've pretty much hit the big ones. Stay away from the processed crap, whole foods, as many plants as you can get your hands on. Sugar is not good for you, which doesn't mean that I have it cut out of my diet. Miss and I have sugar whenever we want, but we do it in moderation. The thing is this, there is no magic pill. There is no one right diet strategy for everybody on this planet. Everyone's body is different, and you've really got to figure out what works for your body by doing a little study and by doing some experimentation. You usually have a pretty good sense of what makes you feel good versus what makes you feel like crap.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
And so just try to lean toward the good stuff. But you really do have to do some self-study. You can't just blindly follow anybody's stuff because you're different than anybody else. And just like every other life book category, you got to take responsibility for figuring out what works for you in this area of your life.
Mm-hmm. And lastly, I'll say you don't want to stick to one doctrine. Everyone should listen to that Dr. Greg Schulte episode of the upcoming Life Improvement podcast. He killed it, man. I mean, I'm talking to Harvard doctors, and he came on and he killed it. And the reason he killed it is because he's open to new studies. He's open to new information. He's not going to hold his ground and stick to his guns. And that's what I'd leave off saying, is be open.
Yeah, Dr. Schulte is our go-to doctor when it comes to nutrition. He really is. He's made himself extremely knowledgeable over the last few years. And so, yeah, that's a very good recommendation, Jordan.
Good luck, Ann. Next question from Haron. Do you have any specific weight training or diet programs that you recommend?
Well, I do. And in the new Life Book program, in the health and fitness category, I lay them out and demonstrate them. And I think that most Life Book members have heard me talk about this before. The two biggest breakthroughs in exercise physiology over the last 10 years, at least, maybe 20, have been super slow resistance training and Tabata or interval training for cardio. Mm-hmm. So super slow is great because, you know, I'm right now, I'm going through Ben Greenfield's Look Good Naked program.
Oh, are you?
That's what it's called. Yeah. Ben shot it over to me. I asked him to give me some tips for this upcoming health and fitness challenge. And he shot this program over to me that's based on interval training and isometrics and Tabata. And so I'll report to you guys how I do with that. I'm really excited about it. It looks fantastic. And Ben is the shit. That guy is, well, you know, Jordan, you've interviewed mm-hmm. him, right? Mm-hmm.
I have not yet. We have it in the works, but I listened to his podcast extensively. And yeah, he's one of those guys. He's really well read and he's just driven.
So I'm going to try his program and I'll give you guys all a report on what my results are. But back to the two big recommendations, as far as exercise, interval training is simply a super hardcore sprint of whatever you're doing for X amount of seconds and then X amount of seconds of rest. And then you just repeat that cycle. You can just jump online and take a look at Tabata, T-A-B-A-T-A, I think it is, mm-hmm. Tabata.
Calling back to, you know, the big thought in the beginning here, just I guess a personal question. How often are you still going for a long run? How often are you still, you know what I mean? As opposed to these quick workouts, do you still say, hey, I need a 45 minute run here?
Well, I don't do that very much anymore. And, you know, there has been more and more research coming out that just basically says that long distance running isn't necessarily that good for you. And it's certainly not that efficient or effective.
So rough on your body too, but
it really is. That being said, I love it, man. I need to go out there and do a long run every once in a while, especially now that we moved to Hawaii. It's one of my favorite things to do. But clearly doing interval training for literally 8 minutes is more effective than going out for an hour run for most people. So, I mean, it's just like it's a whole different level of effectiveness, Tabata/interval training. And then with weight training, same exact thing. My weight training workouts used to be 45 minutes to an hour. With super slow, I've cut that down to 10 to 20 minutes, and still getting the same results. And super slow is basically just a couple warm-up sets for whatever the muscle group is in question. And then the last set you do is super slow for, like, you know, you want to hit 60 to 90 seconds as slow as you possibly can until your muscle is just completely fatigued. And that's it for a week. That's all you do. You can go online and take a look at that too. Super slow resistance training. Those are the two biggest breakthroughs that we've discovered, and they have just increased the effectiveness of our workouts exponentially.
Love it. Next question from Kristen. Have you ever considered stem cell therapy as a means for longevity?
You know, we just, over the last couple months, we've been hearing more and more about stem cell therapy. I watched a YouTube video. It was Mel Gibson, I think. He brought his dad down to Panama, where they're doing, apparently they've got the best technology down there. And so Miss and I think, are going to check that out in 2019. Miss is already doing some research on it, but I've heard miraculous things about that.
So it was really interesting. I was just talking to Dr. Sanjeev Chopra. He's the Dean of Continuing Education at Harvard Medical. And he was talking about stem cell use on the liver for chronic liver disease and even liver cancer, liver necrosis, I guess the dead parts of the liver. It's really fascinating. And what fascinated me is, you know, these are not the embryonic stem cells that we're used to. We're getting these, you know, stem cells from placenta and all this other stuff. But there's also a lot of misconception between stem cell therapy and blood therapy. I would recommend that this listener, Kristen, check out Regenikine. And also, if you want to look into the plasma therapy, PRP therapy, it's really interesting stuff. And a lot of people say Regenikine is stem cell, but it's not. It's different. And it's supposed to be amazing for longevity. So check that out there, Kristen, and proceed with caution.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure. I mean, this is something that you've really got to research and feel really good about. And Miss and I are going to. And if we experiment with it in 2019, we'll for sure report back to the community and let you guys know how we did.
Exactly. You know, comedian Bill Burr, one of our favorites, has a really funny line about hair replacement therapy. He said, I'm not going to rush out there and get this therapy. Give it 10, 20 years, work out the kinks. He said, work out the kinks, and then I'll take a look at it. So
for
that's
sure.
Something to consider, Kristen. next question from Anna. I have multiple chronic illnesses and I've been disabled for 3 years. My illnesses are not life-threatening, but are expected to continue for the rest of my life. I'm choosing to believe that I can heal, but I've struggled with my health and fitness goals. I'm wondering if they are appropriate or too far out of reach. I'm interested in your suggestions.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't feel qualified or competent to give specific advice on your situation, Anna, because I'm not a doctor and I don't know what kind of disabilities you have. But I will say this, success in the health and fitness category is all mental. It really is. It comes down to your purpose and it comes down to your commitment. And it also comes down to your state of mind. You know, there's that great Henry Ford quote, if you believe you can, or if you believe you can't, you're probably right. You can heal your body with your mind if you use it a certain way. I mean, everyone believes that at a certain level. And you can also make yourself sick with your mind if you use it in the wrong way. It is very, very mental.
So that is quantifiably proven too. Everyone
agrees
on that.
Oh, for sure.
That is,
That's an absolutely provable fact. So, you know, keep that good, healthy attitude. Keep that internal sense that you can have a positive effect on your body, you know, and really try to crank up your purpose. Your success in the health and fitness category is going to come down to your purpose. Now, most people know how to get in shape. You eat less, you eat better, you exercise more effectively, you get good sleep. You know, we all know how to do it. It's our why that's going to determine whether or not we actually do it. Now, in Anna's case, she might not be able, I mean, her how might be a little bit different, a little more complicated
exactly.
than the rest of us. I imagine that it is. So, Andy, you've got an extra challenge, you know, but I think the principles are probably still in play. Make sure that you've got a strong purpose for wanting to have the best health you can possibly have. Keep your attitude right.
Mm-hmm.
Keep believing in yourself. Know that you can heal yourself. And then, of course, you know, study. The information you need is probably out there and you can find it.
Yes.
So best of luck, Anna.
Anna, look into Dr. Joe Dispenza's work. I'm just, now that I'm kind of processing this as I'm saying it, I think connecting with other humans is essential.
Huge.
For Anna. Not just
Huge.
Your friends and family, obviously, but find stories of these people who have overcome worse situations than what you have, because they
and
are
Dr.
out there.
And Dr. Joe Dispenza is a great example. And you guys, I mean, I think we probably talked about Dr. Joe Dispenza on at least 4 or 5 of our 12 recordings last year. The guy is unbelievable. I cannot say enough good about Dr. Joe Dispenza's work. He does the deep, deep guided meditations. And now this guy's story is amazing. He was in his early 20s. He was a chiropractor. He got run over by a bus, broke his back. They said he'd never walk again. And the guy literally healed himself with his mind. And he not only healed himself with his mind, but he came out of that experience being able to articulate how he did it. And that's what separates Dr. Joe Dispenza from anybody else I've ever encountered in the space.
Mm-hmm.
He guides you through the techniques that he used to basically use his mind to have a physiological effect on his body. So highly recommended. I'm so glad you thought of that, Jordan.
And other than that, Anna, all you can do is your best. That's all you can do.
Yep.
You do your best and you're dealt a kind of crappy hand, but you got to play it as best you can. And you know, good luck to you, Anna. I hope you live a beautiful, fruitful life.
For sure.
Next question from Hafrish. I have found my why for my health and fitness, yet I feel as if there's a self-sabotage program within me that doesn't allow me to achieve my fitness goals. How do I become conscious of such unconscious beliefs? First of all, what a great question. Let me just say that again. I feel as if there's a self-sabotage program within me. That's a really interesting way of describing that.
Yeah. Well, you know, we got a couple Lifebook members that are badasses when it comes to uncovering bad beliefs. Lion Goodman is one of them. His program is called, I think it's called Clear Your Beliefs, right, Jordan?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah, and he's awesome. So check out Lion's work, Clear Your Beliefs. Marissa Beer is also great. She has some really good stuff out there on blowing away bad beliefs. You know, one place that I would start, I'd start by taking a look at what the beliefs of the people around you are. If you feel like you've been programmed in a way that you don't want to be programmed, my guess is that it's coming from your culture. Miss and I just moved to Hawaii. And my God, this place is paradise. And these people are the most wonderful, amazing people in the world. The word aloha means hello, goodbye, and I love you. How love amazing. It. I mean, that just says everything you need to know about the Hawaiian people.
Totally.
But one of the massive challenges that they have is you take their genetics and add Kentucky Fried Chicken, Lay's potato chips, and Pepsi, and you're screwed. And so it's just so sad over here, the cultural conditioning when it comes to health and fitness. And now Hafreesh, I don't know if he's from India or you know, what his culture is, but all of our cultures have their own unique problems. And India has super high fat diet, and most Indians don't like vigorous exercise, right? That's one thing that I've noticed about that culture by being in that culture. You go down to South America and you've got different challenges that are specific challenges. In America, we eat way too much friggin' fast food and way too much processed food, and we're always in a hurry.
Yep.
So wherever you're from, Hafreesh, the first thing I do is take a look around at the culture that I was raised in and ask myself, did some of these bad habits get programmed into me as a kid and now are sabotaging me while I'm trying to make some progress in my health and fitness as an adult? That's the first place I'd look.
Wow. That's the fact that you picked up on the culture is really interesting. You know, when it comes to programming, I would, you know, say the parents or this or that. That's really fascinating that you picked up on the culture.
Well, you know, Jordan, Miss and I have been to 100 countries and we are really familiar with the different challenges in the different, but there are parts of the world where you can't find a friggin' green vegetable anywhere.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Right.
And it's not a race. It's a culture thing. It's the culture
absolutely.
That you live in.
That's exactly what I'm saying. And some of it is geographic. Some of it is what's available
right.
in the particular geography.
Good point.
Like Iceland has a whole different deal than, you know, some of the tropical countries. In Bali, it's almost impossible to get good fruit because life pushes out so fast in Bali. Things grow so fast and then they die so fast. They rot so fast in Bali. So the point is this: every place on earth is going to have their advantages and disadvantages, their cultural advantages and disadvantages. And so really take a look at what disadvantages you're surrounded by in your culture and see if you can figure out a way to mitigate those. In America, what we have to avoid is fast food, processed food, fast. Everything's got to be fast, right? They don't have that problem in France.
Yeah, you're right.
2-hour lunches and 3-hour dinners.
You're right.
You know?
But if you go to France, by the way, you're going to get into that flow real quick. You're going to go, I get this.
That's exactly right, man. So Hafreesh, take a look at your culture and see if you've been programmed there. And if you want to really go deep, grab Lion's program and get deep into identifying those bad beliefs and clearing them. But here's the deal. If you found your why for your health and fitness, you're good. All you got to do is dig a couple layers deep, find those bad beliefs, get rid of them, crank up that purpose, and you're going
to
be good.
I love it. And just to put a cap on that, listen, I've spoken with Lion Goodman, you know, at length. And what I've picked up is limiting beliefs are varying intensities. You know, sometimes you can get rid of them. And if this one is small enough, I give you permission right now to blast this out and get on with your life. If it's not, go to a professional. These guys spend decades studying this stuff. Marissa Pierce has spent decades studying this. They can help you. If you can afford it, cut the check.
Well, for sure, because look at the benefits you're going to get for the rest of your life, starting the day that you actually clear that.
Exactly. Well, yeah. What you worry about is I'm going to spend all this money and I'm going to talk to this guy who says he's real smart and I'm not going to get anywhere. No, these are pros. Just like a plumber is there to fix your toilet. These guys are pros.
So, I love it, man. That's good advice.
Next question from Aisha. Beside being a role model and serving healthy food, what do you think are the best ways to instill love and set up habits for healthy and mindful eating for the family?
Well, I think that's pretty much what you can do is you can serve healthy food. You can be a role model. One of the best strategies to use on little kids is to just simply take away bad choices. Just make sure bad choices don't exist. Don't bring the crap into your house. Mm-hmm. If they don't have a choice, they're going to eat good. You know, it's mm-hmm. only when they've got a choice of do I eat this sugar crap or do I eat this healthy food that they're going to, you know, usually opt for the sugar. That's what kids do. So if you can eliminate those bad choices out of your house, that's a big, big step in the right direction. Mm-hmm. But I think that's what you do. I think you nailed it. You know, be a role model, serve healthy food, try to have family dinners where you have, you know, love and camaraderie and great conversation and make meal time a time of family love and bonding as much as you can. And there you go. Do you have any other ideas on that, Jordan?
I like what you said about making mealtime special, you know, taking time and adding the love. That's something that I hadn't thought about. But yes, I do have something to add. And this is a thought. I just want to really quickly take a divergence here to parenting because I want to drill down on this more in between now and parenting month. But something that I've observed in my 2-year-old, if you want to instill something in your kid, sometimes timing is everything. Most of the time, kids aren't listening to you, right? They're playing, they're ignoring you, they're running around, they're doing their thing. But occasionally, kids get in this weird receptive mode where they get this weird look, they got a 1,000-yard stare and you can see the gears turning. And it's for real. And different things trigger it. I also think it's just kind of a brain development thing. Like I'll notice my daughter after a long nap, it'll be like, oh, she's developed more and she's like receptive right now. If you can get them in that mode about health and fitness, if they see someone really, you know, obese on TV or someone really fit on TV and they're wondering about it, that's your time to strike. That is your time to impart a lifelong lesson that is burned in their brain. You say, well, he looks that way. You know, he looks so fit because he worked really hard and he only ate good whole foods. And that's how you get there. And it'll burn in their little brains.
Love it.
I'm telling you.
You know, I think that's really super smart. Timing is really, really important. Another thing you can do is you can invite them to participate. So it's not just, you know, serving healthy food, but like I started cooking with my 14-year-old, Justin. Yes. I actually started cooking with Justin when he was about 12. Mm-hmm. And I taught him how to cook, and I taught him how to cook a couple relatively simple but impressive meals like paella. It's a mm-hmm. one-pot meal, but, you know, it can be very, very impressive. And self-esteem, and he's participating, and now he's got a girlfriend, so he can cook for his girlfriend, and, you know, that's that. So it's just all good. So that's another trick that you can use is, you know, get your kids involved.
Yes, I love that. I love that suggestion. Good luck, Aisha. Next question from Sarah. What are your tips for having more energy? And similarly, how do you stay consistent with your exercises when you don't have energy, when you're feeling lethargic, making excuses, etc.? I can identify with that, Sarah.
Well, let me tell you something about that, Sarah. I learned a long time ago that exercise is what gives you energy, literally. Yes. So if I this is the truth. If I get up in the morning and it's just like, or whatever, or in the afternoon, when it's time for me to work out and I'm just like, oh my God, I'm too tired. I don't feel, that is when I make myself. I just make myself. No, this is what is going to give me energy. I feel like shit right now because I haven't worked out in the last 2 days and I'm going to work out today and then I'm going to feel great afterwards. And my God, it happens every time. So I just see if I can power through and make myself, even if I'm tired, because I know that that's the answer. It's totally absolutely the answer. Almost more than anything else, exercise will give you energy. Next for me is greens. The more green, the better. Green drinks. Oh my God. Okay. So there's green smoothies, you guys, and green smoothies are Missy's concoction of putting a bunch of vegetables and avocado and healthy oils and seeds in a blender. And she blends this thick green smoothie and it's like a green salad. Then there's vegetable juices, which is just like her beets and carrots and celery and spinach, and she juices that, and that's a thin vegetable juice, unbelievable for energy. And then there's the green powder, like what are the brands, Jordan? I'm not going to get this right. I don't know the brands exactly, but they're the green powders where you put them in a bottle of water and shake it up. Guys, this is something that, you know, I've never been able to feel vitamins in my body. I've taken vitamins and nutritional supplements pretty much all my adult life. This is the one thing that I can actually feel in my body. Feel just kicking up my energy immediately.
Wow.
There's green water, which is the green powder that you put in water and shake up, vegetable juices, and green smoothies. So number one strategy is exercise. Number two is greens, green, green. Number three, limit toxins. Limit alcohol, limit sugar, you know, don't overeat, limit the toxins that you put in your body. And then the last one that I want to share is something that you turned me on to this last year, Jordan, that I swear by now, and it's CBD. Mm-hmm. Holy cow. And not only does that, I'm not sure that it gives me energy. What it does is it makes me feel so stable and grounded and strong. It's a sensation that I can't recall feeling from anything else I've ever taken. It's not like my green drinks give me a major energy boost. This does tend to kick up my energy a little bit, but what it really does is it makes me feel clear and confident, mm-hmm. and stable. And solid and strong. What's your experience with it, Jordan?
Man, I've spoken to some people in the cannabis industry and really gotten into the science. It's so fascinating. For those of you who don't know, CBD is the therapeutic, one of the many therapeutic compounds in cannabis. It is not THC. It doesn't get you high. It's not a drug. But it has a crazy amount of effects. You know, when people say a cancer patient gets cannabis, a lot of the effects that they're getting from the cannabis is the CBD. What I would say is happening to you is CBD allows your body to recover at an incredible rate. It's anti-inflammatory, almost unrivaled in its anti-inflammatory properties. And it is also good for your sleep, your REM sleep. And that's what I want to talk to Sarah about really quickly. Sleep is so important.
Oh, for sure.
Clean up your sleep hygiene.
Good call, Jordan.
There's so many things you can do. I'll just try to be really quick. Blacking out the room is super important. Not looking at screens the first thing you wake up. Sound machine if you need it. Here's the big one. Like you said, not so many toxins and intoxicants, specifically before bed. Alcohol destroys your REM sleep. THC, if you're not doing just the CBD and you like to have a little bowl at night, that disrupts your REM sleep. A lot of people don't know that it's bad for your sleep. It's good for deep sleep, but it's bad for REM sleep. Don't do that. Give yourself a couple hours, 2, 3, 4 hours before bed. It will change your sleeping patterns and you will have more energy throughout the day.
I read a book called Power Sleep years and years ago that had dozens of sleep strategies. Because I'm not a good sleeper. And I think that's kind of hereditary for us, Jordan, and Power Sleep just gave me so many phenomenal strategies. Like you said, black out the room. Don't have any stimulation before bed. Don't watch scary movies. Don't watch, you know, screens at all. The best thing to do is take a bath with candles and really relax and come down. So you can study sleep strategies for sure. That's really smart. And then it's, you know, exercise, greens, limit toxins, CBD. There's a lot of different things that you can do to increase your energy levels.
Finally, really quick, cold shower. Everyone hears me say it. They go, okay, please try it, Sarah. Please try cold showers just for 5 days and write back and tell me how you feel. All you listeners, by the way, feel free to write back anytime and tell us how things are going. We'd love to hear updates because we just love hearing from you guys. Oh, but to wrap it up here, wrap up these lovely questions. Final one coming from Kim. I would love to hear more about John's experience with anxiety that he referenced on an earlier call and how he resolved it. I had my own anxiety episode 4 years ago and last year, which led me down to the path to self-discovery. And I would love to hear more about John's journey. That's kind of what happened to you, man. That's what led you down to the path of self-discovery. It's wild.
Really? Yeah, you're right about that. I think it's a cliche, from our greatest challenges come our greatest gifts, right? I mean, mm-hmm. that's certainly the case for me. So I got hit hard when I was in my early 30s, about 25 years ago. I had a panic attack during a board meeting. It was absolutely horrible. I'd never had a panic attack before. I didn't know what was happening to me. I literally did not. Your body goes crazy. I mean, you just go haywire. It's horrifying for those of you who have never had one. And the bottom line is that year I had like three in relatively quick succession, and it generalized into a general anxiety disorder, which had me housebound. It turned into full-blown what's called agoraphobia. I could not leave my house without having the feeling. It's this impending sense of doom and dread that is based on nothing. Like there's nothing wrong. There is mm-hmm. literally no rational reason for you to feel like you're going to die, break apart, the world's going to come to an end. But that's exactly how you feel 24/7. So it was a tough thing. And there were a lot of different manifestations of it. Massive social anxiety, claustrophobia, but more generalized, just the feeling of being enclosed. I didn't need to be in an elevator to feel completely claustrophobic. It was terrible. It just, you know, it shut me down for two to three months. I was literally dysfunctional. I couldn't do anything. I called the people who ran my companies, and I was like, you're on your own. Mm-hmm. Literally, I am staring over the edge of a really, really bad place right now. And I mean, there was no transition plan. There was just like, I can't come in. I'm out till further notice.
Wow.
And I went to work on it. And, I think I've told the story. My dad was watching late night television one night, and he saw two infomercials. He bought me my first two personal development programs. First one was called Attacking Anxiety by Lucinda Bassett. Highly recommended if you struggle with this issue. And that program taught me what anxiety was and kind of where it comes from and some of the strategies to deal with it. It was super good because you kind of feel like you're going crazy. And that program, Attacking Anxiety, sort of made me realize, well, no, this is something that a lot of people struggle with. And she described exactly what was happening to me. And Jordan, that was, in a way, that made me feel a lot better just to know that, you know, I wasn't the only one that this was happening to. And so that sort of helped me get a little bit of a grip. And then the second program that my dad bought me that night was Tony Robbins' Personal Power 2, which was my first real exposure to personal development. And I did both of those programs that summer, and I got a little bit of a foothold, and I started down the path toward healing that also started me down my personal development path. So the solution for me was multifaceted. It took me 8 years to fully solve this problem. I did everything there was to do. I did deep psychotherapy with Dr. Nathaniel Brandon. I did neural feedback. I did behavioral modification therapy, NLP, NAC, emotional freedom technique. I tried everything there was available at the time. And the big breakthrough that came at the end was from Dr. Joe Mercola, who gave me a book called Nutrition and the Mind. Nutrition and the Mind by a guy named Dr. Watson. This book was written in the 70s. It's out of print. You can't even get it anymore. You got to go on eBay and find a used copy or on Amazon. And basically what this book said is that all mental conditions, and I'm talking about, you know, this guy did 15 years of double-blind control studies in the 70s. We're talking about things like, not just like anxiety, but we're talking about depression, bipolar disorder, the hard ones, the tough ones. All of them can be traced back to improper brain energy, which can be traced back to and corrected by nutrition, proper nutrition.
That was a pretty broad claim. I like it. I'm definitely interested.
Well, you know what? I can't comment on whether or not that is broadly true. These studies were done in the 70s, but here's what I can comment on. In my particular case, for what I was struggling with, and basically this guy's like, what you need to do is you need to figure out how your body metabolizes food and get on the proper nutritional program for you and your brain, and then your problem's going to go away. And that's exactly what happened to me. So I learned that I was a fast metabolizer, which means that when I put food into my body just burns through it and I get a spike and then I get a crash if I don't eat the right foods. And my dad, who had anxiety disorder as a slow metabolizer, had exactly the opposite problem. His body metabolized food so slow. Bottom line is we have the exact same problem, but our solution is opposite. So because he's a slow metabolizer and I'm a fast metabolizer, we had to get on two completely different programs. And I switched to a super high fat, high purine diet. Probably what sent me into that anxiety disorder in the first place, besides just the fact that I was partying like a rock star and not living a healthy lifestyle,
right,
was that Missy and I had cut all the fat out of our diets because it was the early 90s and that was the flavor of the moment.
Oh, brutal. Right?
It was brutal, man. Back then, if you wanted to lose weight, the wisdom of the age was you just cut all the fat out of your diet. All you got.
Never mind sugar. Never mind grains.
Nope.
By the way, that's when everybody was getting fatter. Everyone's getting fatter, and they're looking around, going, "Well, we cut out fat, right? You're using margarine. You're using margarine, right? Man, I have
a
100-year-old grandfather ate eggs, bacon, and butter every day for
breakfast.
That's
right. And it's 470 years old. I mean, come on. You know, and that's why I take all of these big diets with a grain of salt, because I've just seen so much come and go in the last 30 years, right? So anyway, what probably put me in this, or at least partially what put me in this problem in the first place, was the fact that we cut all the fat out of our diet. So adding that fat back in, adding the high purine back in, and then adding the specific vitamins that this protocol called for, within 2 weeks, my anxiety disorder went away and never came back. Now, granted, and Missy points this out over and over again, I had done years of other stuff. I'd fixed my daddy issues.
Right.
I unwound my, right? I mean, psychotherapy. And
you did the hard work. Yeah.
I did the hard work. So that was the final piece of the puzzle. And then, of course, it goes without saying, and I'm going to say it anyway, that I could have never gotten through that time in my life without Missy. She was the rock. She was the glue that, you know, kept me together and nurtured me through that whole time. But Jordan, I remember you were probably 2 years old, maybe three, that summer that I friggin' crashed. And the only thing I could do is take you out in your diaper to the pool. And you'd be running around all day and I'd paint all. I mean, that was the only thing that I could do without feeling like I was going to break apart.
Wow.
I hung out with you all summer long by the pool while you were running around in your diaper. And I would just make paintings because that's all I could do. But I finally got through that and it was a lot of hard work. And that's pretty much my story.
Well, that's a nice touching ending, especially the work you're doing with Black Star and these other projects. For those who don't know, it's basically an art charity based around the idea that art can heal. And there's all these great stories about people who made it through addiction and anxiety by using art. So it's a creative expression ties to our health. Everything ties to our health. I mean, let alone emotions. You know what I'm saying?
So true. Yep. You're right about that. Yeah. So good luck, Kim. Anxiety can be a real bitch, especially in this modern world. We're all so prone to it. And they've been doing more and more studies about, you know, how much anxiety our young people are going through from being on their phones 24/7. Anxiety and depression. I mean, it is absolutely clear that these screens, overdoing screens, causes that. So I think we're going to see a lot more of that in the future. And I think we're going to have really good strategies to combat it.
So Kim, clean up your sleep. Amazing for your anxiety. And
By the way, let me just say something about that. I want to say something because
please. Sleep
turned out to be literally the biggest indicator of how I was going to be able to perform and function the next day. If my sleep was good, I had such a better chance of making it through the day without massive anxiety, you know, getting panic attacks or whatever. When I didn't sleep that night for whatever reason, that's when I was most prone. So I'm glad you threw that in, Jordan. Sleep is so incredibly important.
Awesome.
Oh, one more thing before we can't do a health and fitness show without saying the word meditation at least once.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
You know, and I didn't have back then, that was not a tool in my toolkit.
Totally. Oh, Kim, I can't believe that we, good job bringing that up. And there are lots of guided meditations for that. There are healing meditations. There are relaxation meditations.
Yeah,
please,
for sure,
look into that. That and might be the highest leverage move.
You know, I will tell you that meditation is probably it's for sure in the top three overall life strategies.
I think so.
Well, you know, it shows up in more categories than any other single strategy, Jordan. It shows up all over the place. It shows up in your emotional life, your intellectual life, your spiritual life. It shows up in health and fitness for sure.
It's a good point. I mean,
yeah. So meditation is just a massively valuable tool for so many things.
And start the morning with a cold shower. All right, everybody. anything you want to add here before we sign off? What a great list of questions. Again, please write in more. We love hearing from you guys.
Yeah, all I'm going to add is if you haven't joined the new Lifebook group for January, please join. Go through with Missy and I. It's going to be free if you want to get your money back at the end of the program. And it's going to be a game changer for all of us. This cohort, this January cohort, is going to be absolutely amazing. So please join us.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. We love you all. We'll see you next time on the Lifebook Member Podcast.
Take care, everybody.